For Gallup, I'm Muhammad Yunus, and this is the Gallup Podcast. In this episode, we explore the changes unfolding all around us in terms of what defines a career, how talent and hard work over time will likely result in new fact patterns for workers and employers of the future. Join us as we discuss the growing reality of independent work. Miles Everson is Chief Executive Officer of MBO Partners. Prior to that, Miles served as the Global Advisory and Consulting CEO for PricewaterhouseCoopers, where for nearly three decades, he helped manage and then led PwC's advisory business. Miles, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thanks much, Muhammad. I'm really excited to be here today.
A lot of the talk around employment in the pandemic has really been about where we work, remote working, working from home, et cetera. But your focus is more on how we work, more specifically how independent workers are becoming a larger portion of the American workforce. Let me first ask you, how do you define independent work?
Yeah, so we look at the independent work as those situations where somebody has chosen that their livelihood will be based on them doing independent work for multiple clients. So, you know, there's a second kind of piece that would pick up what I'll call the side gig person, and that's certainly independent work. But where I focus and where the company MBO that I'm with spends most of our time is helping those independents that really want to use the independent work as their way of making their livelihood and living their life.
How is that different than sort of like a gig, what we hear about in the gig economy?
Yeah, so a couple of kind of key factors. One is oftentimes the gig economy is people that actually would prefer to be working a full-time job, but they've chosen to, you know, in the interim to do something. So they're doing side gigs. Another important distinction is that it has to do with the type of work that is being done. So at the lowest level, you have very undifferentiated, unskilled work that gets done on some of these gig things. And then you've got in the middle kind of very specific tactical tasks that get done. And then the cohort that I'm most interested in and we're focused on is the differentiated worker. Now, what correlates with that is people on our platform will be able to make in excess of $100,000 a year generating their livelihood. Whereas when you go down the other direction, if you will, to the tactical and the unskilled, it gets much, much lower in terms of the value that they can generate. So we're, again, you know, we're focused on those folks that really have committed to making it their livelihood and how they, you know, in my basic terms, how they feed their families every day.
And in that, it's really a transition from what used to be the traditional, you know, 30 plus year career in a very specific industry or maybe even at a very specific employer as defining sort of career success to this new reality, as you all found in MBO for the past 10 years, a growing reality of more and more professionals finding themselves preferring this sort of arrangement than the more traditional route. Oh. Or let me not say traditional, let's say the old school route.
Yeah. So look, maybe some data would be helpful, right? So in the United States today, there's 42 million Americans that do some form of independent work, which is significant, right? And of the full-time workers in the United States, full-time independent workers, 21% of them will make over $100,000 on an annual basis. And so it used to be, you know, years ago, if you were at a cocktail party and you said you were an independent contractor, it's kind of like, well, so what did you do before you got laid off? That's no longer
I totally remember that era. Right. I remember that era, yeah.
Those days are
gone.
And
it's so different now, yeah.
Yeah.
How has COVID impacted that reality, Miles? Has it sort of sped it up or what do you think the longer term impact is going to be?
We believe it has accelerated it, okay? And part of it is there is a correlation, in my opinion, between remote work and independent work. And there is no question that COVID has accelerated remote work. Everybody basically is remote worker, nearly everybody. And so we believe going forward, we're going to see more and more companies being comfortable, in quotes, using remote work. But more important, people are choosing to be independents. And a fact point on that is in the third quarter of this year, so Q3 2020, the amount of new business applications, tax EIN numbers, was up over 80% from what it was in Q3 19. And it's the highest number of applications in the last 30 years. People are choosing to want to be in business for themselves. They're going to be independents. They're going to work remotely. And, you know, you can kind of overanalyze why is that. I got some data to support why that is. But simply, it's because they can. I mean, think about what this is doing to the balance of power between the employer and the employee. If you say, well, I actually have workers, and now workers get to choose which companies they work for, and they don't just choose it as a career decision. They get to choose because they're an independent contractor. And if that company has a culture or a set of business practices that is incongruent with their own values, they'll just go work for somebody else. It's very easy.
MBO's report is called The State of Independence in America, The Long Haul, Enduring Growth and Resilience of Independent Work. You all are releasing it this week. One of the really interesting things to me in the report was, in addition to autonomy and control, just like you said, independence, people are also seeking flexibility, or the flexibility that independent work can offer you. It's notable that corporations now are very focused on offering flex time, for example, for employees, and trying to sort of replicate that reality. Talk to us about the importance of flexibility for the folks that you've been studying with this ongoing study now of independent workers.
Yeah, so I'm going to go back to start with our purpose, which is we give people the control to do the work they love the way they want. When we say control, it means that they have the freedom to do the work they love. So the flexibility, when you have control of your own situation, by definition, you end up with more flexibility. So you get to choose what clients you work for. You get to choose perhaps where you live. So I, for example, I believe that because of the increased acceptance of remote work, more and more independents will choose to live in places that maybe they otherwise wouldn't have lived in because they thought they would have had to be close to the physical location of a client or a company. So that flexibility is certainly important. And then, you know, the flexibility, I'm going to go back to flexibility and freedom and control all being wrapped together. When you're an independent, you actually can pursue and focus on what your passion is, right? So just before this call, I was on a call with a woman who was explaining that she's an independent, and one of her challenges is from transitioning. She was a CEO, by the way, of a company. Transitioning out of being a CEO to being an independent is, what is she going to focus on? Well, she gets to choose now. When you're working for a company, you have input, but the company has a lot more say over what you're going to do than you do yourself. And as an independent, yeah, you get to choose where you spend your time and go pursue your passion. So, you know, that's a big reason. And then another factor that I'd bring in here, Mohammed, is that, you know, I think in uncertainty, in uncertain times, which we're certainly experiencing right now, the idea that I can have flexibility is kind of a confidence builder, or a satisfying sense that I have flexibility. I'm not single threaded, and people like that. One thing that we found is that many of these independents, you know, I would argue, have very high financial acumen and personal finance, and so, you know, they're focusing on not just their work life, but they're focused on their total well-being. You mentioned our State of Independence, which is now in its 10th anniversary. We're excited about it. We're releasing it this week. But, you know, when we have those results, 89% of independents say that they're satisfied or highly satisfied with their choice to be an independent. That's off the charts high. Yeah. That's not people who've been forced into this way of working, right? Like they're doing it because they love it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, go ahead.
And that's such a huge factor in just success, right? So all of the research shows that when you bring that passion and commitment and feel like this is really actualizing your potential, you're going to bring your A game all the time. One of the things, of course, we measure at Gallup all the time, Miles, is engagement, employee engagement. A really important component, of course, of any successful team organization is to find out how to do exactly what you're describing, how to get the best out of the individuals in your team. A lot of the traditional work setting, I'll say, was about driving engagement in a setting where people are face-to-face, person-to-person, in an office, organizing across offices. How do you drive engagement on teams that are really doing what you call, or correct me if I'm wrong, it's called the, you called it the satellite office kind of concept. How do you drive engagement among independent workers?
Yeah, so a few things. One is many of our independent workers, you know, when we're not under a COVID restriction kind of situation, many of them do go to an office a couple, 2-3 days a week with the clients that they're working for. But in the remote kind of environment, you can drive engagement through leveraging open innovation platforms. So one of the things that we have at MBO is a company or product called MindSumo. So it's crowdsourcing as an open innovation. So you get them to participate. So you create a gamification so that people get kind of jazzed and excited about trying to solve a problem together. And you can do that interactively online doing that. We obviously activated a number of interactive tools. And you know, we encourage the independents that ride on our platform for them to use collaboration tools, frequency of contact, use of video, much more than just use of email. And so, you know, we obviously it was a change for everybody, but I think what we found with our high-end independents is they were already quite equipped and capable of working in a remote situation. So it was much less stressful for them than what it was for maybe perhaps people that were used to going to the same office every day.
I want to also ask you, Miles, about, we had a previous conversation where you said something pretty profound about loyalty and the role it plays in talent retention. Talk to us about kind of the role of loyalty and talent and how you've seen it unfold in different independent, non-independent settings.
Yeah. So, you know, when I think about loyalty, it ties, you know, I'll reiterate the kind of two points that I made earlier, that under 45, it's 4.1 years and they'll move. And under 35, every 18 months, people move companies. Because, you know, loyalty isn't about just the words that get printed on the page. Okay. And I'm going to take us back to me almost 25 years ago in my career, when I was in a conversation with Don Clifton, who was the creator of Clifton Strengths. And I just remember the conversation so clearly, because he said, you know, Miles, most companies really focus on all the exit interviews and why people are leaving. He said, they're asking the wrong question. They should be talking to the people who have stayed and ask them why they stay. Which, by the way, that lesson in and of itself is really important, because it's kind of the inverse way of thinking, which is certainly well in my career. But he said, the single biggest reason that people stay at companies is because they don't want to let their friends down.
You have all dings and everything.
The loyalty is not necessarily to the entity. The loyalty is to their friends. So if you have friends at work, you're more loyal. Okay. And so we've seen that manifest itself in independence, where we help facilitate communities of practice. And it doesn't always have to be a technical community, just like connectivity.
Podcast,
so when you have friends, it's your social support
thank
system,
you for subscribing to
which can go away in times like this where everyone's remote. You don't have that physical support system, the water cooler. So it's not just about these collaboration tools I talked about, but what can you do to facilitate friendships? And those friendships will have a lot more loyalty than any other kind of just program that you can put in place.
That's such an awesome and profound note. Of course, referencing Don Clifton. I wanted to ask you one last question, Miles. In terms of career advice, if I'm a young adult listening to this, or if I'm a parent or a mentor of a young person who is just starting to get their career going, if they're listening in, what are your key pointers on setting themselves up for a successful career in this new paradigm? What do you advise young people on how to tackle this new reality that we're facing now?
Yeah, so I'm going to start with something that has nothing to do with the new paradigm, but I think it's important for success in life and any career, which is live by the golden rule. Treat people the way you would like to be treated. That's paramount, number one. when it comes to professional life, okay, in particular for people, I believe that it's important that you
try to be cool about the piece.
Define yourself, and I'll say humbly define yourself.
Intro for podcast.
Don't become defined by others.
Thank you for subscribing to Out of the Echo.
Because when you become defined by others, they will tell you why you can't do X, or why it's not your time, or why you should wait. Most of the definition by others is things that inhibit people from capturing their full potential. So you define yourself. So some people say you should dream, you should chase your dreams. What I'm saying is you define yourself and then you execute with merciless execution against what it is you want to go do.
And the companies themselves.
And I think that I could go on, Muhammad, about, you know, I see that there's forces working in the world today that are important and profound. The biggest thing is, here's what I know. The rate of change is accelerating. That's not a news bulletin. But what is behind that is that the rate at which innovations are coming out is also accelerating. And it's a flywheel effect, because when innovations converge is when you get breakthrough changes that affect society.
Thank you for.
So you have to prepare yourself
in season three,
to be adaptable, to be curious, and to be able to always be changing. Protectionism is not a good strategy for a career.
That's a very profound point to end on. Miles Everson is Chief Executive Officer of MBO Partners. Miles, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks, Muhammad.
That's our podcast. Thank you for tuning in. To subscribe to the podcast from any podcast app, just search the Gallup Podcast. And for more key findings from Gallup News, go to news.gallup.com or follow us at Gallup News. If you have questions, feedback, or suggestions on topics for future episodes, we want to hear from you. Write to us directly by emailing podcast@gallup.com. This Gallup Podcast is directed by Curtis Grubb and produced by Justin McCarthy. I'm Muhammad Yunus, and this is Gallup, reporting on the will of the people since the 1930s.
America's growing concern with major technology companies. We explored the emerging role that